So, Hare Krishna, I just wanted to say a little bit the idea of this course on transformation. Yesterday we discussed a little bit that what really will help us to change into nice devotees of Lord Krishna, trusting and loving devotees, is to hear about Lord Krishna and think about Lord Krishna. Now we will, in order to think about Krishna, we need to know a little bit of his qualities, the qualities which he has, his pastimes, his forms, and so on. In this course, we are discussing the qualities of Lord Krishna. But we relate these qualities also to us. The qualities of Krishna can be developed by a mortal soul, by a conditioned soul, and by hoping to relate the qualities of Lord Krishna to our own lives. We are hoping to make the necessary spiritual advancement. So now, today, we will actually hear about a quality which I believe is very, very fascinating. We will hear about Krishna's quality of being forgiving. I personally feel that this is very important for devotees to know, because we can't always be 100% good in this world where our bodies and minds create obstacles to pure devotion. Srila Rupa Goswami defines Kshama Shila. Kshama Shila means forgiving in the following way. A person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party is known to be forgiving. An example which has been given is when Krishna forgave Shishupala. Shishupala was really not a nice person. The normal children who grow up, they say as the first words, Mama and Papa, in our civilization. By the way, that's not a very nice thing to say. Mama means mine and Papa means sin. You can see that this is the first words which we pronounce, my sin. Amazing, isn't it, if you think about it. The Shishupala said as his first words, Krishna is a rascal. He was very, very much against Krishna. Not only from one lifetime, his anger against Krishna had come. Several lifetimes ago, he was also, he just hated Krishna. It was the one thing he did not like, Krishna. So, this is what he said. Now, everything came to a climax. Krishna was also quite intense with him. Shishupala was meant to marry the most beautiful queen, Rukmini. And on the day of her marriage, when she just left the temple of Durga, where she had prayed for blessings for this, for a marriage, Krishna appeared amongst all the princes. You know, you can imagine, Shishupala was just ready to go. He was in his marriage outfit. And then Krishna just came with his chariot. He very slowly and very conscientiously drove amidst all the suitors, the people, who, a let me say, the bridegroom party, and just very elegantly kidnapped Shishupala's bride, Rukmini, and very slowly, for the effect, drove out of the marriage assembly. This Shishupala could never forgive Krishna. It was just too much. He felt very much humiliated by Lord Krishna. I think we can imagine in the logic of Shishupala, that was just too much for him. So when Krishna was honored in the Rajasuya sacrifice as the most worshipable person who was amongst the attendants, those who had come to the sacrifice, Shishupala's envy just boiled over. And as Krishna was sitting on his throne, Shishupala just went in front and started to blaspheme Krishna. You coward, you have built your town in the midst of the ocean so that no one could get towards you. And from time to time you come to the shore, to the mainland of India. And what do you do? You just steal other people's brides and so on, like a crow. This is just too much. And he began to speak really heavy things, you know, which are not very polite. But Krishna did not mind. He forgave him. It is said, a lion roars in response to the sound of thunder, but not to the cry of a jackal. Krishna just forgave him. He kept peaceful. Now, there was something, some other instance where Lord, that is very much related to this. It is said that when Ramachandra was there, had appeared. This is I will give another example. Sri Krishna also forgives living entities who make offenses against him. Krishna describes that he is a seed-giving father of all living entities. He feels really like a father and is ready to forgive like a loving father whatever his children do wrong. One point where all of us often wrong Lord Krishna is when we pronounce his holy name and when we are inattentive while we are chanting. It is not nice that we do this, but Krishna is willing to forgive this. Krishna had forgiven the demigods when they did something wrong against him. Remember, when Brahma had kidnapped all his beloved cowherd friends, the gopas. The gopas were just playing and laughing and throwing balls at each other. And Krishna just loved his friends so very much that he forgot that he is God. He played with them as his childhood delight. And Brahma had nothing better to do than just to come and steal all the boys away from Krishna. Later, Krishna met Lord Brahma and he forgave him. Krishna even was willing to forgive Indra, who was so demoniac that he tried to destroy the cows and the cowherd men in Vrindavan, it's described that Krishna was afterwards, after Indra had sent his rain catastrophe, then Krishna was inspecting the Govardhan hill to see exactly what damage had been made by Indra. And at that time Indra came to beg forgiveness, and Krishna forgave him. Krishna is also ready to forgive his devotees when they make mistakes, even if the devotees commit the most abominable actions you can imagine. He says, Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mang ananyabhag sadur eva samantavya same yukta tamo mataha. No. Samyak vyavasito, he so. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. One example comes to mind which I heard when I was in Puri. There was a pujari called Balaram who was extremely attached to illicit sex life, and he often visited prostitutes. Now, like all the pujaris in Puri, Balaram had one specific service which was given to him. His service was to take care of Lord Jagannath during the Ratha Yatra procession. He was fanning him. So it happened that the night before Ratha Yatra, he visited some prostitutes and he spent the night with them, and he was in the morning he was covered with lipsticks and eyeliners all over his body. He must have been sexually very active that night, and so in the morning he noticed, oops, it's Ratha Yatra day. My service. And but he was already late. He got up late, so he ran towards the cart, and without washing himself or dressing himself, he climbed up the cart to do his service of fanning air to Lord Jagannath. Yadunandan is shocked. Yadunandan is totally shocked. Yes, this is how it happened. So when the pujari saw him climbing up the cart with signs of lovemaking all over his body, they were even more shocked than our Yadunandan. And they took him and threw him down the cart. Bang! Balaram, he was hurt. He said, my dear Lord, you know that I'm weak. I'm like a drunken man who curses himself to that he drinks, but he cannot stop drinking. Are we not always sometimes like that? Like a drunken man who curses himself for his addiction but cannot stop it? Hare Krishna. So you have promised to take care of your devotees. I don't mind that the panda throw me down the cart, but that you throw me down the cart, this makes me totally disappointed. And he went to the beach of Puri. He built with his own hands from the sand some Ratha Yatra carts. On one there was little Jagannath, on the other Subhadra Devi, and then Balaram. And he cried, he cried very heavily that. So Jagannath on the cat and the real cat didn't feel very well about this. He's my devotee. I'm sorry. So he went in the night to the king. It appeared in the dream of the king and said, there is my pujari Balaram. He's sitting on the beach. Please go tomorrow to him and get him. He should do my seva. Meanwhile, all the people in Puri had tried to move the cart of Lord Jagannath. But Lord Jagannath would not move even 20 centimeters. He insisted that first his pujari Balaram must come. So the king came next morning to save the Ratha Yatra procession. I mean, it was clear the Lord would only move if Balaramji would be there. So he came to the beach and he saw Balaram sitting there crying, and he said, Balaram, come. The Lord wants you to serve him on the Ratha Yatra cart, if it is possible. Why don't you take a little bath in the ocean, and here is a new dhoti for you? If it is possible. So Balaram quickly took a bath in the ocean, dressed in the dhoti, and went on the cart of Lord Jagannath, because Lord Jagannath had forgiven him. So this story should not mean, okay, now, no rules and regulations. I'm the great rules and regulation breaker. The Lord will forgive me. No. This is not the conclusion a devotee makes. The conclusion a devotee makes is, he understands, my Nasadragi, good Ospadin, is extremely merciful. Our dear Lord is so merciful to us. He is forgiving. Similarly, Lord Krishna is very pleased when his devotees are forgiving. If you want to remain fixed in the qualities of a sadhu, a spiritual person, you have to learn to become forgiving. If you are not forgiving, then you still have much to learn in the school of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna says that forgiveness is one of the qualities which belong to godly men who are endowed with a divine nature. He speaks about this in the 16th chapter, text 1, Lochan Prabhu, 1 to 3. I know that you are very interested in the exact quote, so I will read it for you. Krishna says, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness. How do we say it correctly, Lochan Prabhu? Covetousness?
How is it pronounced?
Covetousness.
Covetousness. I don't really know that word.
No.
Covet is there.
Yeah. That is covet. Greediness, huh?
You would say coveting is a verb.
Yeah.
Greediness, yes.
Yeah. Gentleness is a quality of a devotee. Modesty, steady determination, vigor, and forgiveness. Chanakya Pandit has said that the main quality of a sadhu is his ability to forgive. He says a woman becomes beautiful by her eyes. The nightingale becomes beautiful by his singing. And a man becomes beautiful by his knowledge, and a sadhu, a saintly person, becomes beautiful by his ability to forgive others. Forgiveness is something totally different than the demoniac nature, where pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, and so on are there. So if you want to have, if you wish to develop your spiritual path, you must similarly practice the art of forgiveness. Let me ask you a question. What is an area where you think forgiveness is appropriate? But when an offense is repeated again and again and again, we should not, in order to teach that person. From where is it? This is very interesting, Alakananda. Maybe you can be so kind to look this up for me and make a photocopy or handwritten thing. Yeah, please remember it, because I intend to later publish a book on these things, following the footprints of Satswarup Maharaj, who has also... Forgiveness is the natural reaction to a conditioned soul is revenge. Like the Spanish say, revenge is a sweet dish, best served cold. That is, after some time, you take revenge. You know, when the person maybe has forgotten, we can see how far our Yadunandan has transcended the Spanish mentality. You know, that is because forgiving is so difficult. You feel that only when you forget it, then it's possible. Yeah. Then when you forget, something is done towards you. Yeah, forgiving is not easy. I have only heard once from a lecture of Gaur Govinda Maharaj that forgiving requires a certain power, a certain inner strength, and that strength can only be obtained by a strong bhajan. If you don't have a strong bhajan, that is something which connects you with the spiritual reality of Krishna consciousness, then it's very difficult to forgive, like our Vishveshwara Prabhu has told us. Yeah, you are correct. It is not always so easy. But the way I personally deal with forgiveness is if you want to reach the eternal kingdom of God, then and if forgiveness is one of the required qualities which you have to develop, then we have to do it. In other words, forgiveness only becomes easy for me as a person, or possible for me as a person, if I see a greater value in forgiving than in not forgiving. We always think when we not forgive, when we remember, and when we show our revenge towards someone else, that in some way we show that we are stronger, maybe. And we feel superior and not inferior, and so on. But all these very undesirable thought and behavior patterns can be given up if we understand, well, if you have to go to Godhead, and if you can only go back to Godhead if you forgive, then you might have to do it. How is it with forgetting? We say in the world, forgive and forget. I personally believe that we can forget when something is done one time or two times, which is not right. But just like Alakananda has quoted from some scripture, that if something is done repeatedly, some wrong is done repeatedly, we may not like to forget. We may say, well, this person is a little problematic, let me not come too close in my life. But forgiving is necessary. It is said, when you keep your anger inside of you, this creates poison, which is very bad for your system. I would like to give you an example from do you know what is the condensate of the human breath? I will show you. This is called the condensate of the human breath. This is a hungry human breath. It's very hot. Now, they made experiments in psychology. They took a person who was very angry and took his condensate. You know, the whole condensate, and gave that to a guinea pig. You know, it looks like a little rat, the guinea pig. And the guinea pig died. There was so much poison in it, Ramananda Roy, that the guinea pig died. Now, if a human being is angry for 1 hour, he can kill 80 guinea pigs. So much poison. Hare Krishna. Gopeshwari, you are shocked. 80 guinea pigs. Now, to think that when I'm angry and not forgiving towards someone, that this is in my interest. Because I show my superiority. It is as foolish as to think that by drinking a glass of poison, the other person has to suffer and not myself. What do you think, Lo Chan?
I don't exactly understand what you mean.
I thought so. If I think to be angry is all right, it doesn't harm me. It is as foolish as to think to drink a glass of poison is all right for me. It is bad for the other person. Hare Krishna. This is not very intelligent. Anger is not good. And the only thing which releases anger is if we forgive. It is all right. It's very important. Even in a marriage relationship, forgiving is very important. Some of you are married? Yes, wonderful. So we will move on. I wanted to come to one particular quality of Lord Krishna. Which I personally like very, very much. It has a little bit to do with this. I want to move to a quality which I can only do half because it's so deep. Krishna's 29th quality is Vadanya. Vadanya means he is magnanimous. Do you know what is magnanimous? Lochan is our English professor. he will teach all of us who are not so good in English, magnanimous. How would you define the
großherzig?
Yeah, he's a giving person. A giving person. Mm-hmm. Rupa Goswami. What?
Animus is soul, and Wagner is great, great soul.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rupa Goswami defines this quality of Vadanya. He who is a heroic giver is called magnanimous. A heroic giver. I like this this way of expressing very nice, because he's a hero in giving. Srila Prabhupada has given a special angle on this. He said, any person who is very charitably disposed is called magnanimous. He, by nature, is very charitable. And Rupa Goswami gives an example. He says that Krishna is so magnanimous that anyone and everyone who came to him with a wish was totally satisfied by Lord Krishna. The slayer of Kamsa completely satisfied the desires of all those who approached him with a wish, thereby rendering worthless the Chintamani jewel, the Kamadenu cow, and the Kalpadruma tree, who now with humility worship Krishna's royal city of Dwaraka. It's interesting. Krishna was giving more, is more giving than the Kamadenu tree, Kamadenu cow, the Kalpadruma tree, and also the Chintamani jewel. Wonderful, isn't it? Krishna is giving away, and giving away. Prabhupada writes about this. In the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna, named Goloka Vrindavan, there are Surabhi cows, which give unlimited quantities of milk. There are desire trees, from which anyone can take all kinds of fruits as much as they desire. The land is made of touchstone, which when touched to iron will transform it into gold. In other words, although in the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna, everything is wonderfully opulent, still when Krishna was in Dwaraka, his charity was more than the opulences of Goloka Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is present, the limitless opulence of Goloka Vrindavan is automatically present. There is a verse which we learned when we were very young in our Krishna consciousness. It comes from the Katha Upanishad, which describes a little bit Krishna's
magnanimity.
You are able to say everything. Please say again.
Magnanimity.
Very good. This word, which Lochan Prabhu has just pronounced for our pleasure, this is Krishna is so magnanimous that he is taking care of everyone of us since inconceivable periods of time. This brings a very philosophical subject to our attention. See, when the living entity can actually only desire, and when he has desired, then the material nature moves in such a way as to fulfill his desire. You, for instance, desired to be here today in this room, and then your body moved, which is material nature, according to this desire. Our desires are really instrumental of or the reason why we are here and not there. Most people are not clear about their desires, and many devotees also are not very clear about their desires. But once you are clear about your desire, then Krishna will give the material energy the order, move and fulfill the desire of this living entity. This is expressed in the Katha Upanishad. Nityo nityananam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman tamatmastam yenupashyanti diras tesham chanti shashvati netaresham. Of the innumerable eternal conscious beings, there's one eternal supreme being. He maintains the innumerable living beings according to individual work and reaction of work. By his expansion as Paramatma, that Supreme Lord is also present within the heart of every living being. Only through saintly persons who can see that Supreme Lord within and without can one attain perfect and eternal peace. So, of all the eternal beings and of all the conscious beings, there is one supreme being who has since time immemorial satisfied the desires of the living beings. This is how Krishna is magnanimous. He gives what you wish. I would like to also say that Krishna is more magnanimous than you can imagine. When he was in Dwaraka, he had 16,108 palaces. And do you know what he did from these palaces? Every day from each palace he gave 13,054 cows in charities to the Brahmanas. Do you know how much cows Lord Krishna gave every day to the Brahmanas? I have calculated it with my own calculator and have arrived at the tremendous number. Krishna gave 208 million cows every day away. 208 million cows. Hare Krishna. This is almost too difficult to imagine. 200. This must be very much. Imagine 208 million cows every day. And Krishna just gives away. It is described that Lord Krishna is more magnanimous than even Lord Rama. See, when Lord Rama was in the forest, Sopanaka, the sister of Ravan, came in order to marry him, and he said, "I'm already married. Goodbye." This same Sopanaka reappeared in Dvarapa Yuga as Kupcha. You know everything. When she wanted to have an intimate relationship with Krishna, as Krishna, he said, okay, and satisfied her desires in Mathura. He gave himself to Kupcha. This shows you that Krishna is more magnanimous than Rama, because Rama said no, and Krishna said yes. Hare Krishna. Now, when Lord Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was most magnanimous. He was more magnanimous than Rama. He was more magnanimous than Lord Krishna. Because he gave what neither Rama nor Krishna had given before. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, He gave to everyone pure love of Krishna. See, a devotee knows that the greatest treasure is not Krishna. A devotee knows that the greatest treasure is love of Krishna, bhakti. Because if you have love of Krishna, then you get Krishna. If you have no love of Krishna, Lochan, Krishna can stand before you like he stood before Duryodhana. But because Duryodhana had no love for Krishna, he rejected Krishna. Or Hiranyakashipu was confronted with a super beautiful form of Lord Nrisimhadev. Hiranyakashipu, the fool, fought with the Lord. So love of Krishna is more important than Krishna, Gopeshwari, because only with your love of Krishna can you appreciate Krishna and can you get Krishna. So this gift, which was not given in Krishna's time, do you know that there Krishna was, I once heard, only about 120 people could understand Krishna is Krishna when he appeared? Did you know this? Many could not understand him because they had no love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Maybe a little bit more than 120. I heard. But not so many as we. Sometimes they had a short period where they could see, wow. But many people could not see Lord Krishna. Only the devotees can see him. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this love of Krishna to everyone. Anuhari. You need thirst to appreciate water. You need love to appreciate Krishna. You follow? You agree? Good. So here is a verse which I would very much like you all to sing with me. Namo Mahavadanjaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Namo Mahavadanjaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Namaha. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Namaha. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Prajayate. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Namaha. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Namaha. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Namaha. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than all other avatars, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given before, pure love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Wonderful, isn't it? A devotee should also become magnanimous. When you leave this world, you should not become known as a taker. She has taken so many saris and so many tons of food. yes. We should become known as a giver. He or she has given so much love, so much attention, so much service, and so on. When Lord Krishna goes through the forest of Vrindavan, he took shelter under the shade of the trees and became very, very happy. He walked under the shade of the trees, fully protected by the hot, from the hot rays of the sun, and he began to speak about his heart, what was in his heart. And you must know, he spoke about this quality which we are thinking about today, magnanimity. Yes, he said, "My dear Stoka Krishna, my dear Varutapa, my dear Bhadrasena, my dear Sudam and Subal, my dear Arjuna, my dear Vishala, my dear Rishabha, please just look at these most fortunate trees of Vrindavan. They have dedicated their lives to the welfare of others. Individually, they are tolerating all kinds of natural disturbances, such as hurricanes, torrents of rain, scorching heat, and piercing cold. But they are very careful to relieve our fatigue and give us shelter. My dear friends, I think they are glorified in this birth as trees. They are so careful to give shelter to others that they are like noble, highly elevated, charitable men who never deny charity to anyone who approaches them. These trees are super. No one is denied shelter by these trees. They supply various kinds of facilities to human society, such as leaves, flowers, fruit, shade, roots, bark, flavor extracts, and fuel. They are the perfect example of noble life. They are like a noble person who has sacrificed everything possible. His body, mind, activities, intelligence, and words, and is engaging in the welfare of all living entities. Prabhupada, he says, and different people may consider different welfare activities as supreme, for instance, opening hospitals or giving food and so on. But he says, welfare activities that can be rendered to people in general for eternal benefit is spreading the Krishna consciousness movement Everyone should be prepared to propagate this movement. As instructed by Lord Chaitanya, one should be humbler than the grass on the ground and more tolerant than the tree. The tolerance of the tree is explained by Lord Krishna himself, and those who are engaged in the preaching of Krishna consciousness should learn lessons from the teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya through their direct disciplic succession. This is very important to be magnanimous. Lord Krishna has praised the trees of Vrindavan, saying, you give so much shade and bark and leaves and fruits. And it is expected for a developed human being to be magnanimous. Please think about this, Ravan. Today, how magnanimous have you been? Alakananda ji, how much giving have you been today? This is a very good question. What have you done today, Bhrigu Muni, to be like the tree who gives? Lochan, what fruits and bark have you given? Still, the day is not over yet. There are many possibilities to give. We can give sweets to devotees. We can maybe wash their shirts. And we can do some sluchba, some other services. I will give you today Vrindavan. I have my idea is to give a slideshow and be very magnanimous today and give a slideshow on Vrindavan. It's a very important spiritual principle which Lord Krishna has praised himself. He is not making an exception. He is giving to every one of us throughout our different lives, throughout our different lifetimes. And he gave this example when he was in Dwarka, that he gave so much cows. Woo. Hare Krishna. So I will now make a little pause.